Attend now to the reading of God's word, as it is found in the New Testament in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus in the 6th chapter. I'll be reading from Peterson's message. God is strong. He wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about. This is for keeps, a life and death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. For God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading from his holy word. Amen and amen. This land is your land. This land is my land. From Dearborn to the New York Islands. So we'll sing from shore to shore, from sea to sea, celebrating this great experiment in democracy. Our mission statement was written on a hot day in Philadelphia 200 years ago, 241 to be exact, as Thomas Jefferson penned, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." This weekend, the flags will be flown, the fireworks flare, from New York to Philadelphia, Boston to DC, and all around our house until midnight, hopefully. I mean, that's the curfew. Washington opined, "Morality is necessary spring of popular government. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles." JFK said, "If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, they cannot save the few who are rich." Clinton declared, "We shall not retreat from violence." Bush noted, "Victory was far from certain, but certain of only the cause that they served. The belief that freedom is the gift of God and the right of humankind, the strength of their convictions made possible the birth of a free nation in which we are blessed to live." While Obama said, "Just as this day deserves as a reminder of the measurable bravery of those who have made America what it is today, it also renews in us the solemn duty we share to ensure our nation lives up to its promise." Our current president, Mr. Trump, had four messages, but no message except the one relating to unity, and the unity that was required in order to make America great again. While we do God's will, God abides with us still, with all who trust and obey. Today we find ourselves in a land that is plagued by fear, incivility, anger, dismay. The question, spoken or unspoken, really is, where's God in the midst of all of this? So as Christians, we turn to the only source we have, the Word of God. This holds the record of God's dealings with humankind, a depiction of this ragtag bunch of believers who, in the face of hopelessness, hoped, in the face of defeat, had faith, in the face of death, loved. Moses was the general of the first protest march. Isaiah was God's prophet whose lips touched the burning coals of the altar. Amos was God's agent of justice. Solomon God's repository of love and wisdom. Ezekiel, God's preacher in a cemetery. Job, God's example of a man persevering in face of grief, pain, and suffering. Nehemiah, God's builder when the walls of Jerusalem came down. Paul, God's molder of a mission movement that would reach this entire world. But only Abraham was known as God's friend. For God said, go, and he went. You see, a friend doesn't look to get something. He said, I'll take whatever God gives me. See, he could learn to talk to God, and he knew how to listen. And when God said, go, he went. No maps, no GPS. When we walk in the Lord, in the light of his way, what a glory God sheds on our way. I am God, El Shaddai. Walk before me. Be blameless. That is, be undivided in your obedience and your loyalty. God's word to Abraham was an imperative. All that flows depends upon devotion to this awesome God. And God's second word was a promise. I will multiply you exceedingly. I am, uttered that word. I will cause you to be. I will establish my covenant. I will give you land. I will make you an everlasting possession. I will be your God. You shall be my people. Now understand, Abraham was very old, 100. On his knees with his face in the sand, he was laughing at the thought of a future for he and Sarah. So he was offering to God this more realistic scenario. Now, God, really, you really ought to bless Ishmael. Go ahead. No, Abraham, you don't know my will. Sarah will bear a child, and you'll call him Isaac. To the people in exile, the priestly writers reminded God's people, I am has spoken. Even in the midst of captivity, despite enslavement, despite the lure of a culture that might surround you, you are required to announce that you march to a different drummer. When Jesus wanted to ask his disciples, who do you say that I am? He took them on this 80-mile stretch into the boondocks. He led them to this village, the home of the god Pan. It was the capital city at the time for Herod Philip, known as Caesarea Philippi. And this included this cave of Pan. It was called the Gates of Hell, or Hades. And a great marble temple had been built around it. It was a fortress for the pagan gods. And Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus began to describe the road before him, the road less traveled, suffering, rejected, dying, and after the third day. Son of Man was a title used 87 times by Ezekiel. He was a watchman for God's people. Eat God's word and deliver it to the people. He must live in the midst of those who have eyes but see not, and ears but hear not. You know, they followed Ezekiel around. He was very popular, but they never obeyed his word. Judgment so far off. But in Ezekiel announced the coming of a good shepherd, the cleansing of the spirit, the resurrection of the dead, a future glory of God's people. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, as Ezekiel did. It was in order to describe the commission he had received from his father, innocent sufferer. And so turning to the crowd, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. In the midst of this selfie culture in which we live, it's all about me, we must choose. It's a culture that ignores the sins of celebrities, hides behind the electronic wizardry of Facebook, Twitter, et al., instead of meeting face to face, experiences terrorism in neighborhoods. It was interesting that Detroit's police chief said, our murder rate is worse than Chicago's. We have less people. To this suffering world, God's word is very clear. El Shaddai, the eternal God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, says, walk before me, be whole, be blameless. Walk before me is a free gift of God to eternal life through Christ. Paul put it clearly. There is sin, there is righteousness. There is freedom, there is slavery. There is the wages of sin or the gift of life, a forever life. Choose. Our world is engulfed by the power of sin, the force of evil, with faceless bombers, drive-by shooters, out-of-control youth shooting innocent, even their parents. The litany is long. But my friends, it was not status, wealth, or power that created this great nation. God has led us since 1776 through revolution, civil war, great war, Anzio, Iwo, Heartbreak Hill, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Baghdad, Kabul, Syria. And our American pledge is clear. We mutually have pledged to each other our fortunes, our lives, our sacred honor. So the 4th of July is not just about savoring our family gatherings and our picnics and our parties. We must also stand beside those who are awaiting caskets at Dover, or have welcomed home the maimed and the wounded. Understand this, the heart of God is broken this morning as he looks over planet Earth. There is not one place without pain and suffering. But know this, God shares our pain, our anguish, our cries of heartache, our agony of spirit. God would sit with us in our wretchedness, as surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Billy Graham told David Frost, there are four things everyone experiences in life: emptiness, loneliness, guilt, and fear of death. But here, in this very place, God meets us. Here we bring our joys and concerns. As Catholic scholar, mystic Henry Nouwen penned it, the Master is coming not tomorrow, today, not after all the misery is past, in the middle of it, not in another place, right here, right now, where we are. My friends in Christ, our wounded healer is with us. Let your wills, imaginations, memories be stirred anew, for the Spirit of the living God is here in our midst. And now may your faith be increased, your love be more genuine, your determination to please God and serve others affirmed. For the question remains, who will you serve? As for me, I choose Christ. God bless you, and God bless America.